It's nice to have IV bags. That's one of the first things, you know. And so I was confused at first. I thought, well, with all the logistics, you know, most of the hospitals are supplied. That's all kind of caught up. Back in 22, it was chaos. And we resupplied a lot of hospitals, like over a dozen. And so I got suspicious because there's a lot of fraud. There's a lot of fraud. You know, be careful. If you have friends throwing money at Ukraine, just make sure who it's going to. That's why I trust the pastors. I've known a lot of them 30 years. So this made me a little suspicious. And so I called a member of parliament. It's his region, Zaporozhye. Well, he's in Kiev, but Zaporozhye is about 4 hours by car. I said, look, this is my request. Any chance you're going to visit Zaporozhye? And he says, well, I could go down there. I said, well, then go down there, meet Pastor, and go to the hospital, and you tell me if it's real. And so the two of them, they went to the hospital, and they interviewed the doctors and went over, and they wrote me back and said, yeah, it's real. So we got them the medicine, and we buy all the medicine from Ukrainian factories. They make Ukraine exports pharmaceuticals. So we do that. And I'm spending all this money, I guess what I was trying to say. And the Lord said, I'm going to give you 1,000 partners. And I'm thinking, I don't even have 100 partners right now. 1,000. We can really bless people. We can do more. So I start thinking about that. And 1,000 partners means more money to do more, right? You understand? Well, God didn't. Because it was like, he left. It was just like, you know, okay, you're going to think that way. I'm gone. Bye. And I'm like standing in the room empty by myself, abandoned. I'm like, I did something wrong. I got excited about my birthday present the wrong way. And I had breakfast, had coffee, trying to figure out what's going on. Why do I feel like a dead rock? And finally, I went to the Lord and said, I'm missing something, Lord. You said you want to give me 1,000 partners, and then went silent, like I've grieved the Spirit. Lord, what did I do wrong? And the Spirit of God just, because he forgives you when you're stupid. You know, I don't know how you define sin, but one of the synonyms is stupid. Come on. And I said, Lord, forgive me. What, I don't know what I did. And the Lord came back and he said, son, I'm not going to give you 1,000 partners to bless you. I want you to bless them. And then he shows me scripture in Corinthians where Paul talks about, you know, I take care of you. You don't take care of me. That's faith. And then he says, son, I want to give you 1,000 partners because I want to heal 1,000 people through your ministry. Oh, you want to heal 1,000 people. And then just like that, I saw, and the Lord starts dealing with me. Why are you strong in faith? Well, because one of the things Gene Owen taught me was to spend time with God daily. All the time. I don't even spend time with God daily. I'm with God. It's like Smith Wigglesworth said. Somebody asked him, how long do you pray? He said, I don't hardly ever pray more than 15 minutes. He says, but I don't really go 15 minutes without praying. You know, your idea of compartmentalizing. You know, God, your time with God ought not be like brushing your teeth. Sure is quiet in this Episcopalian church. And the Lord started showing me, you know, some people are strong in their walk with God and in their faith because they have a daily time with the Lord. And the Lord said, son, encourage people in their private time, their daily quiet time. Some people call it a quiet time. Sometimes people call it their devotional. Some people call it their listening hour. You know, there's different names for just getting alone with God every day, every day, every day, right? Like Jesus got alone with God every day. And God opened his ears so that people thought he was educated somewhere else beyond his abilities, right? And God gave him a fresh word every day, every day. And the Lord, and I, when the Lord's dealing with me, I saw it. I can't say the Lord told me, but I saw daily emails. How many of you, some of you are getting them? This is the background. This is why I'm sending them out. It is to encourage your daily time with the Lord. Because you already know there's nothing in those emails you ain't heard before. Now, some people, it'll be new for some people. But it refreshes you, doesn't it? And it gives you a format where you can just, you know, meditate on those scriptures. At the bottom is a little devotional that's nothing but scripture. Gene Olin is the one I saw using it first. And so if you haven't signed up, I encourage you to sign up. But you don't have to sign up to spend time with God every day. You may already be fine. That's fine. But share it with some of your friends that are having struggles. Because then when you're strong with the Lord every day, you'll have a testimony. See, I want you to be able to overcome. Yeah, we just had a nice testimony yesterday on a text message of someone that was going through some severe sickness period of time, and how just refreshing the Word of God enabled him to stand, make his stand in faith and believe and receive, and he's healed, he's well. Hallelujah. Yeah. See, some of us have a testimony. We sit down on a bench and wake up in the hospital. Yeah. But his Word doesn't fail. His Word doesn't fail. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. So what's God teaching you today? What's God teaching you today? Take a little notebook and date it and put the time down. And what I do, I just want to be honest. You know, write the scriptures, references down that you're reading that day. It'll help you. And the Lord gives you some insight. Sometimes it's just one sentence, but that sentence is a word from God that changes your life. And it builds, it compounds. I've got a box full of little notebooks of my daily devotions. I get most of my sermons from those notebooks because they're years of being with the Lord, and it strengthens you, right? And also, this is the principle I learned. You can go to an aunt and they don't have a manager. They don't have a boss. They don't have an overseer. That's why the Lord, one time the Lord said, you're dumber than a bug. Because that aunt doesn't have an overseer, but he gets his job done. And I didn't have an overseer, and I'd be lazy. Probably I'm the only one in here that knows what I'm referring to. Because then you just, you know, well, I really don't need to get around to it yet. I'll put that off. You know, there's a certain dictionary on my shelf at home. If you look up the word procrastinator, my picture's next to that word. put it off. Why? Because I didn't have anybody snapping the whip. You shouldn't have to have somebody snapping the whip. Well, what I learned is in your daily devotions, if you have a notebook and you're every day you're putting something down and then you skip 3 days, you got blank spots in your notebook and it's extremely embarrassing. Not to me, to you. You don't have to broadcast it to the world. Your notebook becomes your accountability partner. And when I get slipping on my daily devotions, you know what I do? I go out and buy a really expensive notebook because it penalizes me. I learned that from Brother Copeland. I don't go buy some cheap 99-cent notebook. I go buy a $30 notebook. And I start, and I put the date in there, and I start over. And my flesh says, oh, yeah, we're doing this again. Until I get my flesh back under control. And then I don't necessarily need it. I used to need it for years. But, you know, once you get on the train tracks long enough, but I, every once in a while I need a nudge. I get back into that and I realize, no, I'm living with the Lord. Live in that book. That notebook can become a very good guide, overseer, accountability partner. I hate blank pages. See, that's why I buy dated ones. See, you understand what I'm saying? Like, it's got big numbers. And I turn a page and there's 3 days. I'm, oh, wait a minute. Well, was I with the Lord Wednesday? Yeah, maybe I just forgot to write it down. Yeah, I think I remember being with the Lord. Yeah. Ooh, wait a minute. Why is this Sunday blank? Pastor preached a good message. What was that message? Oh, it was good. Oh, his message was good. What was it? It was good. Yeah, but what was it about? I got all fired up. It was really good. Yeah, what was the scripture? What'd you say? Yeah, it was over my head. How are y'all following me? Amen. It's a simple tool. It'll help you grow. And I'm telling you, you build that word into your heart. And then when the devil comes and you sit down on a bench and you wake up in the hospital, you got something to draw on. You better build your house on a rock because before the storm comes. Because building houses when it's storming out is not the ideal. You can do it. And with the grace of God, that's what the church is for, because people will hold an umbrella for you. But no. Build that into your life so you have a fresh testimony of what is God speaking to me about today? What's God speaking to you about today? And you can talk about that with your friends. And the Bible says, if you look in the book of Malachi, there's a group of angels that do nothing but sit around listening to you talk about your daily devotions and writing it down. What'd they get today? See, I don't know about you, but your angel hasn't even ever had to sharpen his pencil. You're in trouble, right? You want him busy writing, right? You want him filling up the hard drive with text of what God's been showing you. Hallelujah. But then we get to the end of the verse. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. Live right. Stay clean. Stay under the blood. When you make a mistake, run to the Father, not from the Father. Right? That's the difference between conviction and condemnation. Do you know the difference? See, a lot of religion condemns people. Condemnation is when you sin and the devil comes in and pushes you away. Anything that pushes you away from God, that's condemnation. Throw that out. That ain't God. When you sin, conviction pulls you to the Father. That's conviction. Bible says, come boldly to the throne of grace to receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Doesn't say ball and squall and slather in there on your knees. No, it says come in there boldly. Just walk right in and say, Lord, I missed it. I screwed up. I sinned. Forgive me. You know what? That's not when he found out about it. It's not when he discovered it. He's glad you figured it out. Because he's been, yeah, he'll show up here. Soon. Why is he waiting so long? Right? He knows. Soon as I said to the Lord, I grieved you somehow. I missed it. You said 1,000 partners. See, I saw it completely in reverse. And it grieved him. But why not go boldly before the throne and receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need? And he'll come. All of a sudden, he's forgotten that you were stupid. You might as well forget you were stupid. And keep going, right? Now you're in a place to make decisions. But you gotta get through one to get to two. And you gotta get through one and two to get to three. And the Bible says they love not their lives unto death. Now the word witness in Acts 1:8, how many of you remember that verse? And they were all filled with power. Right? The Holy Ghost came on them. And they were witnesses. How many of you know we ought to be witnesses? Yes. Right? Well, that word witness in the Greek is maturion, which is the same word from which we get martyr. And you know what a martyr is. Someone who dies for his faith. Terry and I were living in Moscow. We'd moved over there 4 days before the terrorists hit the Twin Towers. Well, we had a group of, I think it was four pastors scheduled to come over. And after the terrorists hit the Twin Towers, they canceled. So I put it out in, I don't know if it was, what was it back then? Was it Facebook or was it something else back then? That was a long time ago, 2001. So I put it out there as a post. It didn't make me popular. I said the difference between a Muslim and a Christian is he'll get on a plane to die for his faith, and a Christian's afraid to get on a plane. didn't help my partners financially supporting me. No, when we talk about love not their lives unto death, there's a point where you're talking about physical life and death. What do you stand for? Most of the time, we don't really think about it until we're either at a funeral home or we're at a point of war. I've lived under the shadow of an ongoing war for 11 years now. And I've seen a lot of death, a lot of grieving widows, a lot of very, very hard to explain situations. And I don't have all the answers, and I'm glad that I'm not required to have all the answers. We got a whole millennium to figure things out, right? But what I do know is what I'm responsible for. And when you see other believers in other environments risking their lives, sometimes you sit there and you feel guilty. Wonder if I, what would I do? What would I do? You know, I remember reading some scathing story where they were angry at a girl that was kidnapped in Afghanistan and she recanted her faith to stay alive. Well, I don't know, Peter did that. I think God forgave him. This article was saying how God never forgives that. I'm thinking, huh? Of course. You know, you don't know what you're going to do in those kinds of situations, I suppose. I mean, you like to think you know, but until somebody sticks a gun to your head, I don't think you probably really know. Not really, you know. But I also think there's a harder part. Sometimes dying's easy. I think it was Oswald Chambers. Terry and I love his devotional. He says, you know, Jesus dying on the cross took a few hours. Dying to self and mortifying the flesh, it's a lifelong. It's a lifelong process. It'd be nice if we could spend a couple hours and then be perfect for the rest of our lives, wouldn't it? Now, maybe Donna's already there. She's had some rough times, you know. She's gotten through it. Now she's perfect. No. No. See, this choice of love not their lives unto death, it's not about the dying. It's about not loving your life. It's about, you know, I'd like to do this. And then the Lord says, I'd like you to do this. And you choose. I had a time when I was, Terry and I had come back to the U.S. We moved to Lancaster in 2002. And I was traveling full time at that time. I wasn't actively pastoring a church. We had churches, but I wasn't actively the senior pastor. And I was in love with doing what God told me to do, which was raise up leaders in all through the former Soviet. And there was a church in Chelyabinsk that I'd really helped raise up the pastor and helped with the church when it was small. And we had several churches in Russia and one in Armenia that every time I visited, like for a week, the church would double in size. It was incredible. It was an anointing. It had nothing to do with me. Just something God would do. And I remember one time in Omsk, Russia, the pastor called me and he said, I've talked to Pastor Simonyan in Armenia, and he talks about how you visited and his church doubled and you came back and it doubled again. I said, yes, sir. He said, I talked to this other brother in Bryansk, I think it's called. And he said that the same thing happened there and you were only there 3 days. I said, yes, sir. He said, I'd like you to come to my church for 3 days and double my church. I said, according to your faith, be it unto you. And so we went there to preach, and they'd never done a 3 day meeting because they always had to rent buildings. So they had, in this case, they had to rent three different places in the city. Every night it was in a different place. And so I'd had this driver show up, and every night he took me to the wrong church. It was so funny. I was late every night except the last service because there was only one option. He knew there were three places. But the first two nights, we always went to the wrong part of the city, and then we had to get all the way back. And here, they'd been singing for almost 2 hours waiting for the preacher. And but the weird thing about it is I kind of think God did it because, man, were they ready. They'd been worshiping for 2 hours. And anyway, the Lord doubled the church in 3 days. So this happened in Chelyabinsk also, and they asked me to be the pastor. And they had 3,000 people. Well, everything's relative. 3,000 people in Chelyabinsk. Well, then, you know, I could move in there with the family and there'd be enough finance. I could travel all over and really do what God's called me to do. And I'm in Lancaster praying about that. And the Lord said, no, that's not for you. I want you to start a church in Lancaster. And I was just pretty sure that pizza last night was too spicy. It's just too spicy. Because obviously, Chelyabinsk is like everything that's been working over the years up to a logical conclusion is Chelyabinsk. And Lancaster? If I started in Lancaster, we've been going to a church. It's going to be considered divisive. They're gonna hate me for it. There's no way I'm getting out of this without a black eye. That's not good for the kingdom of God. And, I did my best to convince God he was wrong. Because obviously he's wrong. Except he wasn't. Now, here's my point. I hope you understand. This is real suffering. I'm making light of it and I'm laughing about it. But this is my life. I've spent years reaching the Russians. I've laid my life out, and this is the cherry on the top. This is, and you're taking it away. Are you all following me? This is what I wanted. No, it's not what I have for you. You're going to start a church in Lancaster. And I'm like, okay, arguing with God. And that was a brick wall. So I figure I'm going to have to fast 3 days to change his mind. So I went and went up back to Titusville and rented a cabin with a friend of mine and off of a friend of mine. And I got 3 days alone sitting there staring at the wall. And it was the most miserable 3 days because I couldn't get into God's presence because I was wrong. I mean, it was horrible. Just basically sat there and tried to read and couldn't get it. I mean, couldn't read through a paragraph because it was like walking in snow up to my waist, you know. It was just blah. And you can't worship because you're not in fellowship. And 3 days of that was horrible. So then I'm driving back to Lancaster, you know, 4.5 hours. And I finally started to repent and asking the Lord, you know, what's wrong with me? Lord, I hope you know, I want to do what you want me to do. That's what I want. I delight to do your will. It ain't about my will. And the Spirit of God starts coming back in the car. Wished I'd have done it 3 days earlier. But why didn't I? Because that's kind of a death struggle. You know what I'm talking about? It's not wrong to have dreams. It's wrong to have the wrong dreams. The Bible says he gives you the desires of your heart. That doesn't mean he gives you the answer. He gives you the desires of your heart. The desires you give yourself are kind of suspect. Right? Fleshly desires, worldly desires. you know, you can justify, whoa, pastoring a church in Russia, that's a godly desire. Well, it is, except if it ain't his will. What do you, you know, I'm going to get in the way of someone else that's for. I'm going to stop another ministry gift from fulfilling their call. I'm going to be the cork in the bottle. No, I don't want to be a cork in the bottle. I don't want to get in another man's way when he has his own call. I want to do what God's called me to do. And I'm not here talking about myself. I'm here to lay out an example for your life. Are you all getting this?
Yes.
See, because you got to get past one, the blood, to get to two, which is daily time with God and having a fresh testimony, to get to three, to be able to make decisions. See, you got to know what God's called you to do, and most people don't. You got to pay the price to get to three. And usually it is connected with fasting and prayer. I'm just going to tell you that right now. If Jesus had to fast and pray to figure it out, good chance you're going to have to as well. But the beauty is, once you've come to the place where you love not your life unto the death, you quit complaining. I've been to a few funerals and I ain't yet seen somebody in the coffin complain about anything. Hello? They're dead. They're done complaining. They've moved on. There ain't no competition left. There ain't no pride left. There ain't no hurt left. In fact, you kind of chuckle. Because the things that used to keep me up at night, they don't keep me up at night anymore because I'm dead. I'm dead to that. I had some guy cussing me out on a Ukraine text message thingy the other day, and I just chuckled because he ain't got a clue. He's just a little kid. He ain't dead yet. I like what one pastor said. He said, you know, when the Lord's dealing with your flesh, he says at some point as a pastor, you need to look at your leaders and stick a fork in them. If they wiggle, they're not done yet. I've always liked that. If they wiggle, they're not done yet. But when you know what God's called you to do and you laid your life down for it, there's a peace. There's just no, you know, what am I worried about? There's no struggle. If God's called me to do something, I don't have to worry about it. And it opens the doors, I'm telling you, it opens the doors to miracles because you get out of the way of trying to do it yourself. You don't want to be like good old Abraham and try to figure this thing out and you mess things up. You don't want to be like Moses and try to figure this out and you end up killing somebody and hiding them in the sand. You know, no, you just mind your own business. And at some point, took Moses 40 years. You know, when God said, okay, now it's time to go. Moses is like, nah. Who am I? Send somebody else. I'm not, you know, there's probably somebody that's better qualified than me. Boy, something died in that 40 years. Right? Something died in that 40 years. It opens up the door for you to know that it's God and it's not you. Back in 2014, by the way, I have a really bad habit of going long, so get used to it. Back in 14, I was in Donetsk, Ukraine. And I had a vision, and I saw a map, and I saw where Russian armies were invading the mainland. See, they'd already captured the peninsula, Crimea, which is Ukraine. Sometimes people think Crimea is a separate country. Crimea is like saying Florida. It's a peninsula, but it's Ukraine. And so the Russians had invaded it, taken it, and that's what everybody thought. That's all they wanted because there was a Navy base there on Crimea. But here I am in Donetsk, and good-sized church, several thousand, and what a blessing we had. And this was 11 years ago this month. In fact, March 8th. Is this the 9th? Yeah, it was 11 years yesterday. Wow. And so it would have been last night, 11 years ago, I had this vision. And I saw the map of Ukraine, and I saw like arrows, like some old Raiders of the Lost Ark movie, you know, the enemy coming in with these arrows and tanks and soldiers and into the mainland. And so when I woke up, I took my iPad and I pulled up Google Maps and I took a picture, a screenshot, and then I started writing what I saw. And about a month later, my map, drawn by somebody else, was on BBC. I mean, the arrows were right where the Lord had shown me. Well, he knows, right? And after I drew that map, the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me and he said, go to Kiev and speak to the president. Just like he's sitting right next to me, the word of the Lord. Now, a little bit of teaching here. God speaks to us most of the time through this still small voice. All right. And that's important. That's 99% of the time, I would say. And I learned this from Kenneth Hagin. And after 40 years, I can add my affirmation that I would agree with that. 99% of the time, you're led by the still small voice. You know what I mean? The still small voice will say, don't go to work on route such and such. Go that longer way on route so and so, and you miss an accident. A lot of the time, you just follow that still small voice, and God will lead you and guide you to where you need to go and do. But the word of the Lord, to be honest, to me is nearly audible. He's there. And I remember one time the word of the Lord came in the car Bob Hawk was driving. This was 1987. We were coming up 79, coming up from Pittsburgh. And the Spirit of God came in the car. Bob's driving. And I'm just praying in tongues, you know, just minding my business. And the Spirit of God spoke out loud, get off at the next exit and look for a church. Okay. And we come up to the next exit, and Bob doesn't get off. And I'm like, Bob, get off! Get off this exit! The Lord, and I thought he heard it. That's how real it was. And it was in that split second I realized he didn't hear that. That's the word of the Lord. Ended up meeting Lester Sumrall. Wow, that was crazy. Thank God for Gene Olin. But also as training, because here I am in Ukraine, and the Lord says, go speak to the president. Now, have you ever done that before? I've never done that before. He might as well have said, your last name's Armstrong, go to the moon. I don't know how to go to the moon. How do you go? So then the worst thing is I had to go downstairs and tell two pastors, well, I'm not going to go with Pastor A because, I'm supposed to go to Luhansk. Please forgive me. The Lord said go to Kiev to meet the president. I got to speak to the president. I felt like an idiot telling him that. I felt like, you know what? It would have been easier for me to say, I had a revelation. I'm going to use my faith. I don't need deodorant. My body smells sweet. That would have been easier to say that. But so I get to Kiev. And here's the point, guys. I'm totally serious. And I want you to get the teaching principle behind this. I hope you understand that. I don't need to talk about myself. It's your life I'm talking about. When you love not your life unto the death, you're not worried about success or failure. Either he said it or he didn't. I'm dead to it. I'm on BAM. And if I'm hung out to dry, well, then I'm just, I made a mistake. I'm stupid, but I'm dead stupid. I'm not going to fret this. I'm not going to bawl and squall. I don't know how to meet the president. I don't think there's a dummy's guide on how to meet presidents. I didn't Google it. What do? Walk up to the gate and knock? I don't even know where the gate is. It's a wartime. He's probably hiding somewhere, right? So I asked the Lord, I got a lot of friends in Kiev. No, immediately. See, the Lord says step by step, right? The Lord said, don't talk to anybody you know. Don't talk to anybody. I want you to pray. Okay. But see, you got to be dead. But when you're dead, you're free. And you're even free to make mistakes. Some of you, the Spirit of God has come on you and you have not given out a tongue or interpretation because you ain't dead yet and you're still worried what somebody's going to think about you. And as long as you're worried about what somebody's going to think about you, you're just never going to sing that song because it's too hard and you can't reach that note and your voice might crack and who really cares? You're dead. I ain't heard too many dead people singing anyhow. Right? Are you following me? Whole lot of strife would disappear if you realize you're dead. Just, it ain't worth arguing about. It's just not worth arguing about. This is what God told me to do. I'm going to do what God told me to do. I love you, but I really don't care about your opinion. I'm dead. Because I report to him. You know, I don't worry about little Avery. She's all of 3 years old. She walked in this morning. And you know, I should be angry because she insults my wife. She comes in and says, Gigi, you smell like cow poop. She said that this morning. She's three. Well, now, why aren't we mad at her? Because we understand the relative positions. The relative positions. She's three. I don't know where she got cow poop. You know, she lives next to a farm. She's probably smelled cow poop. I don't think Gigi smells like cow poop, but I don't get out of sorts. What are you out of sorts about? You're not dead yet. Oh, but you don't understand. I do understand. I wanted to take a gun and shoot a guy. Trust me, I understand. I wasn't dead. You got to get from the blood to a life lived with the Lord to a place where you can say, I died with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. But it's not me. It's Christ in me, the hope of glory. Did you get anything out of this morning? Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. I'm so blessed to be able to share the word with you. And I want to encourage you. Some may have questions. What's next for the church? When are we going to have a pastor? What do you care? You're dead. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. And I'll encourage you. Grandpa's in the house. It's a nice little phrase, but we're always going to be here. Somebody's going to be here. We're going to keep going to be here. What's that? And Gigi's in the house. Smelly Gigi's in the house. She's the one that said that. We're going to see a period of time. A very wise young lady said to me, you know, finding a new pastor's not like going to Walmart and taking one off the shelf. Right? Yes, Donna said that. I know God has not been caught by surprise. I know I've been in Muslim countries. I've been in all kinds of places where they don't have pastors and they thrive. You say, well, we need a pastor. Are you sure about that? See, I think you might underestimate your own maturity. You need... I was going to preach this morning on comfort one another, encourage one another. All these discipleship issues. I was going to go to Matthew 28, talk about discipleship. And the early church didn't have pastors. And they went for years without pastors. Finally, Paul would send people back to appoint elders after years went by. Why? Because you take care of one another. There's somebody needs visited. Well, what happened when you visited them? What? Am I authorized to do that? You are now. I just authorized you. Actually, the scriptures already authorized you a long time ago. You are freely authorized to take someone who's in a crisis in their life to out to dinner so you can share with them the Word of God that you learned that morning in your devotional time. Right? And in a worst case scenario, there's a whole bunch of books out there. Somebody has a question, stick a book in their mouth. Here, I got this for you. Praise the Lord. This will answer your question. My life's been changed by books. We're so blessed with books, right? Decisions will come. Certainly, we've got enough time and enough maturity. We have a board. We've got leaders. No problems. We'll make it through. And when the day comes, you'll be a support and a blessing to a new pastor, not looking to the new pastor as some chaplain that's going to solve all your problems. Amen. And then finally, I wanted to just close with a real strong encouragement for you. All of these areas of being under the blood, having a testimony, having a daily time with the Lord, finally putting things to death in our lives so that we embrace. I didn't get into this, but once I embraced the idea of starting a new church, because that's what God's will was, it's the time of my life. I love to do the will of God. Somebody said, well, you act like you enjoy being in Ukraine. Well, I don't necessarily enjoy being in a war. I enjoy doing the will of God because I know, you know, I'm safe. I know I'm under His shadow, under His wing, right? So we get 1, 2, and 3 right. We're gonna recognize that what we have is worth giving away. And I'm going to be bold. If we don't have a testimony, we don't have anything to share with that person at the grocery store. We don't have anything to share with the neighbor. We don't have it in us to be a witness. 1 Peter 3:15 says, sanctify the Lord God in your heart and be ready always to give an answer for the hope which is in you in meekness and fear. See, the point is, be ready to give an answer in meekness and fear because there's something on the inside of you. If people aren't asking, there's probably nothing in there. Real quiet in this Episcopal church. See, because when Paul, in the day he was writing, you got killed for asking. So there must have been something in there real strong that people say, what's different about you? Certainly in your workplace, you know, what's different? How come you're always here early and you always stay late? How come, you know, you're never sick? How come you don't get into the shop gossip? I don't know where you live, where you work, but we ought to be light in a dark place. We are light in a dark place, right? We're witnesses. And these empty chairs are broken lives. Somebody needs to be sitting here. I remember when I got to sit here, when I was young and crying out to God and had a broken heart and a hungry heart for God. And thank God my mother, I had that drug problem I talk about. My mother drugged me to church, right? Well, we need to compel them to come in. I don't know that we're ready for a new pastor until we get on the cusp and the breakthrough of growth again. Can I just be flat honest? I want to see visitors. I want to see visitors. I hope you want to see visitors. I want to see a fresh move of God among us. Then I think we're ready for a pastor. And I want to see the balcony full. See, the church might have this or that problem, not big problems, but when that balcony's full, all of the problems we face today are gone. We'll have new problems. We'll have new problems. Glory to God. I'd like to trade these problems for those problems. Hallelujah. Let's stand on our feet. Catch a hold of the hand of somebody next to you. The Bible says you got to love me. I hope I wasn't too hard on you at the end there. But we love not our lives unto death. Lord, I thank you for every hearing ear. I thank you for every hungry heart. I thank you, Father, for the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood. Thank you for the blood of Jesus that cleanses me. Thank you that we stand forgiven. We stand redeemed. We've been bought with a price. Thank you for the precious blood of the Lamb. Thank you, Lord God, that we walk with a testimony. Thank you, Lord, that you're moving in our lives today. You're moving in our lives every day. You're moving in our lives in the midst of the problem. You're moving with us in the midst of the fiery furnace. We thank you, Lord. You were not a far off God. You came right into the furnace with them. We thank you, Lord, that you're not a far off God in my life. You come right into the midst of my problem. I thank you for that testimony that I have. I thank you, Lord, I don't love my life anymore. I thank you, I love the life you've given me much more. I thank you that I am the new creation in Christ. I thank you I'm walking in the will of God. I thank you I'm doing what you called me to do, and I'm going to keep on doing it, and I'm full of joy in the name of Jesus Christ. Now lift your hands up and say, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Boy, he's good to us. Amen. 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 Well, we'll see you again soon. We're going to do our best to be here as often as possible. When that's not possible, we're going to send you God's best. And there's such a long lineup of amazing men and women of God that want to preach the gospel to you. Enjoy it and suck it up and receive it. Drain them and send them home empty. Hallelujah. Amen. God bless you.